I think it's fair and helpful if I say some things to introduce myself. You may think you know me already, but here are some things you may not know. I'll come to that in just a minute, because keep Sunday special, why and how? I believe that answering these questions involves interaction between your upbringing, call it your baggage if you like, influences from society, and if you're a Christian, what you think the Bible teaches. Here are some of the influences on my early life. I was born into a Christian family with strict observance. We went to church Sunday morning, rush home for lunch, Sunday school in the afternoon, evangelistic meeting in the evening. Before we went to church, chapel in the valley on the radio. When we got home, Sunday half hour. Don't for one moment think I mock, because through that I found the Lord Jesus Christ in primary school. But that was a model of use of Sunday. You could read a book if it was the Bible or a Christian book, but not anything else. A youth leader in the secular youth club that I went to said this, and I think I almost quote him word for word, "The way to be happy in life is to do your hobby as a job and find some fool to pay you for it." That was a view of work. A friend of mine called Raymond left school before I did, started to work in a local factory in Chelmsford in Essex. After a few weeks, I said to him, "How is it going? Do you like it?" He said, "No, I hate it, but I can put up with it because I have money to enjoy the evenings and the weekends." And I realized then, this is a young man, might have 50 years of work. Can work ever be more enjoyable than that? Or is it just to be endured? When I was 19, having lived for football despite my primary school response to God, God began to say, "Will you stop pretending and be a proper Christian, not just play at it?" And part of that was to agree to be baptized, which I'd resisted all through my teens. Another part of it was to say to God, "Lord, I will work for you as hard as I have in football that I loved. If my commitment to football would require great energy and effort, why should I work any less for the God who loved me so greatly, if truthfully I said I loved him?" So that was a challenge, and it brought lots of changes in my life, and I never regret it for one moment. But in my last job before coming here as associate pastor in the University of Gloucestershire, we were discussing one day how hard we worked. And one of my colleagues said to me, "Your trouble is you enjoy your work." Now, up to then, I thought if you enjoyed your work, it was a great privilege. And I had to begin to think, could it ever be a problem that you enjoy your work? So that is me. Call it baggage if you want. What's more important is that we look at the Bible. So here are some biblical principles. You know, of course, what the fourth commandment says, don't you? It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Did you expect me to say that? It commands work and says, do it in 6 days. It's not commanding paid employment. There are many who work and work hard without payment. But it says more, of course. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The command is, work for 6 days and then stop. Have a day of rest. And Exodus 20 verse 7 refers to the Lord resting on the seventh day after all his creating work. That's stated in Genesis 2. And the day of rest therefore celebrates creation. It enables us to recognize God's creation as good, to enjoy it, and be refreshed for the next 6 days. Note that this is global. There are some who try and make out it was just a command for the Jews and not for the rest of humanity. Not at all. The God who created the universe rested from all his work. When we do, we're following God's practice and example. God worked and then rested, satisfied. It was good. If it's okay for God, it's okay for me. But note, work is not God. To allow work to have all our energy and our allegiance is to make it an idol. But did you note the list of people, manservants, maidservants, daughters, sons and so on? It's for everyone in society to rest on one day a week, whatever the day is. This is a good command for the whole of humanity for all time. Work 6, rest 1, principle 1. When we look at Deuteronomy 5, it starts in verse 12, observe the Sabbath day, observe it, much as you do other festivals. This is a weekly festival. It reconnects with Genesis and the Garden of Eden, as we've seen. There are lots of similarities in that passage to Exodus 20. But then verse 15 has something different. Use the Sabbath day to remember, we're told. Verse 15. Remember, first, you were slaves. Remember what it was like for you to be slaves and have to work very hard. Now you remember all who work. Give them a break. But it also says, remember, God brought you out of there. Therefore, remember God brought you out of there. That's why you should observe the Sabbath day. That is, God brought you out of Egypt. He saved you. So obey him, worship him. Both Exodus 20 verse 10 and Deuteronomy 5 verse 14 say it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. That is, it's a day for him. It's his day. He sets the principles for its use, not us. It's a day offered to him, a day made holy, a day regarded as different, set apart. The second principle says, use the day when you don't work to remember the saving God you have and worship him. Worship and serve God on the rest day. Second principle. Now we come to the New Testament, because there are principles there too. And I suggest to you the third principle is to take note of the teaching and practice of Jesus as shown in the Gospels. The Gospels show us a lot about the attitude of Jesus to the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He showed that it was okay to eat on the Sabbath. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He said it was fine to do good on the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verse 12 simply says, Jesus said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus never sinned in what he said or what he did. Not in what he did on the Sabbath, nor in what he taught about the Sabbath. Jesus observed the Sabbath, but opposed those who were legalistic about it. Oh yes, Jesus criticized legalism, but not the Sabbath day as such. Mark 2 verse 27 starts by saying, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. That is, Sabbath keeping is in order to help us. It's intended for our good. So yes, some had made it a matter of legalism, but Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he wanted it to be not a bind, but of great value, even a joy. Third principle, accept the example and teaching of Jesus. But what was it like for the early Christians? Well, the first Christians, some of them, still went to the temple in Jerusalem. But in AD 70 it was destroyed. Also, sometimes they went to the synagogues, including on Saturdays. Yes, the early Christians did, until they were thrown out. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And those early Christians often met in homes. The New Testament also refers to Christians meeting on the first day of the week. Acts 20 verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And in Revelation 1:10, John says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. So clearly time came when Christians met on the first day of the week. A wonderful day to meet, appropriate for remembering the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on the first day of the week. Fourth principle, meet together and on the Lord's Day. Of course it's okay to meet on other days. But the week is quite cluttered. If we don't work on this day, we're more free. But another New Testament principle, I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, shows there should be mutual respect. Paul wrote, Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. That is, how Christians precisely unpack this commandment and use the Sabbath day will vary. You work it out between yourself and God, but keep a clear conscience and don't let others judge you. But that also means don't judge others about how they obey this command. Respect them. Fifth principle, mutual respect. Respect Christians who may think differently and react differently to the use of this day. During the first 2 centuries, some Christians found it difficult to observe the Sabbath, especially if they were slaves, as some were. And sometimes meeting together for worship was difficult, whether it was a Saturday or a Sunday. Indeed, sometimes their meetings were made illegal. Until Constantine the Great, he was Roman emperor from 306 to 337. It's thought by many that Constantine became a Christian after some kind of vision in 312 AD before he won a battle. Soon, after more than 2 centuries of persecution unleashed on Christians by various emperors, things began to be different for Christians. In 313, the Edict of Milan gave rights and toleration to Christians throughout the empire. In 321, Emperor Constantine forbade work on, quote, the venerable day of the sun. Whatever you think of this emperor, and he's not beyond criticism, but Sunday was declared the official day of rest, on which markets were banned and public offices were closed, except for the purpose of freeing slaves. Though there were no restrictions on farming work, many people were involved in farming. And in 324, this emperor made Christianity the official religion of the previously pagan Roman Empire. Less opposition, more liberty. Can't go through the whole of the history. Skip many centuries to Britain in the 16th century and beyond. Well, since then, attitudes to Sunday have varied. In some places, at some times, there have been strict expectations. Other times and places, less so. But it seems to be quite wide agreement that since the Industrial Revolution and the 20th century, developments have changed British life, including the use of Sunday, especially over the last 40 or 50 years. Probably some attitudes to the use of Sunday were too strict and legalistic. Personally, I think the pendulum has swung too far the other way, and there is sometimes pressure on Christians now to let Sundays be just like any other day. Keep Sunday special. It's the name of a British campaign group that was set up in 1985 to oppose plans to introduce Sunday trading in England and Wales. And the Keep Sunday Special has campaigns from all sorts of groups. Trade unions, churches, political parties, private business people, some in other religions, some who say they practice no religion. I know some would say that campaign failed, because since the Sunday Trading Act 1994, large shops have been allowed to open for up to 6 hours on a Sunday. Trade unions and employers at the time gave assurances that no worker would be forced to work on Sundays. And it was pointed out to us that surveys showed that some Christians shopped on a Sunday. So why not have the supermarkets open and so on? What a change, because before 1994, only small shops were allowed to be open. And I can remember, some of you can, it was often pointed out to us in those days that on a Sunday you could buy a pornographic magazine, but not a Bible or a birthday card. Well, Keep Sunday Special campaign still at work. And last month they said it welcomed the news that an overwhelming majority, 80% of those who responded to a government survey, 80% were in favour of not extending Sunday opening hours. Well, maybe many people realised that failing to have a day of rest is bad for everybody. And where one or both parents work, on Saturday or Sunday or both, then families may well be damaged. So the commandment about work and the Sabbath day is controversial. The use of Sunday in society has changed. And if you're a Christian and you want to be distinctive in your use of Sunday, you may well feel under pressure about that. Oh, how we all need wisdom. But I put it to you that it is partly a question of priorities and choices. I've noticed about myself that I can make time for what I rate as important. Anyone can choose to stay in bed till lunchtime on Sunday and watch television in the evening instead of going to church, and to try and justify on the grounds that it's a day of rest. But they may not actually convince themselves in their own heart. Here's a question. Is Sunday observance to be avoided because it's relying on the commandments to get God's acceptance? Well, be sure we should cease from using our works to gain Christ and rest instead on what Christ has done. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, and that is a gracious work of God's Holy Spirit. We don't now use our law-keeping as an effort to get God's approval. But having been accepted by God, His Spirit changes us, doesn't He? And enables us to willingly and gladly obey Him, or at least that should be our target, our aim. Christ sets us free. Yes, but that's not freedom to break God's law, as if some of them don't matter, breaking them are fine. It's freedom to keep God's law. You may have noticed that there is a spiritual deadness that comes from legalism. But there's also a spiritual weariness that comes from neglecting obedience to this command or any. And remember, this is God's good and gracious law. To put this positively, there is great joy and peace through resting in Christ and out of love for Him, gladly obeying God's wise decrees, including this one. It may cost you something. Possible to watch a short DVD? Cost somebody something? Here it comes.
Sunday trading has only been lawful since 1995, when the Sunday trading laws were changed, and this enabled most bigger stores to trade for up to 6 hours on a Sunday. And I remember when the law was changing, thinking, you know, God only gave us 10 commandments, and one of them was keep the Sabbath holy. How am I going to fit this this Sunday trading around being a Christian? So I started praying, and I prayed for about 3 or 4 months, from June when it became okay to trade on a Sunday legally, to about September. And now about half the money we take in the year is taken between September and Christmas. It's our busiest time of the year. So if I was going to open my shops on a Sunday in the run-up to Christmas, I needed to know and get organised. And I really felt that God hadn't given me an answer, a clear answer about trading on a Sunday. I remember one night being really angry with God, saying, what is the point in praying if you never answer prayer? And I felt God say to me, Gary, you knew the answer. The answer's no, and no amount of praying is going to get me to change my mind. We employ about 600 staff, and many of those staff are mums and dads. So even if you put the Christian element aside and say we value families, and we do, for our staff to be able to have time, quality time with their children, with their grandchildren on a Sunday, when their children aren't at home doing other things, it's really, really important. We had 3 shops when I became a Christian. Since that time, we've opened another 44 stores, so the business has really been blessed since I've been a Christian.
Thank you. In a minute, I'd like us to pray and then to talk together about this. I'll explain that in a minute. But 2 passages of Scripture before we pray. 2 verses at the end of Isaiah 58. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Lord God, if there are ways in which we have lightly responded to this or any other command, forgive us, we pray. Teach us that you gave them for the benefit of humanity, ourselves included. But Lord, in the practical issues which some of us face, week by week, we ask for your wisdom. Lord, if our hearts need changing so that we are willing to follow you, as you've told us, then change our hearts, we pray. We ask that as we talk together soon, you by your Spirit will preserve us in unity. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.